we could ask Mr. Carter to start us off with your comments.
The charge this committee is working under has restricted your independence, and independence is an important fundamental part of the IOM. We feel the charge confines the committee to analysis of exposures which began four decades ago, and it gives rise to confusion rather than presents a solution. Back on May 15th, you weren't briefed that the report of this committee, if in strict response to the charge, won't directly affect C-123 veterans' access to VA medical care. The real question isn't how much harm. The real question isn't, from us, how much exposure. The real question certainly isn't how much bioavailability. In fact, the real question that needs answering wasn't even raised in the charge. So we ask you to stretch the boundaries of your charge, which is your authority. You're supposed to be independent of the VA. And you were in 1966 when you first informed the DOD that there were hazards associated with Agent Orange. You weren't contracted to do that. There was no charge to do that. The IOM did that because you were independent. And the nation, even though it hadn't asked, turned to you for that advice. Independence is doing what's right, and we ask you to do that here. As worded, the charge takes you from the independence needed to answer the real mission of the IOM and the national academies. We feel there should be no barrier, no evasion, no acceptance of the rigid blindfolds disguised as a committee charge. President Lincoln in 1863 signed the legislation creating this body, hoping that it would be a group of distinguished scholars charged with providing independent, objective advice to the nation on matters relating to science and technology. We ask you to do that, and please independently address the real questions the veterans and the Department of Veterans Affairs are contesting. And we shouldn't have to contest it, but we do. We ask that you form an effective as well as scientifically accurate response to answer the question. The veterans, the focus of all of your work, ask you to provide the nation your advice in the fullest way with a more complete, responsive, and independent answer to the real question at hand. And that question, in our duty aboard these aircraft, these former Agent Orange spray aircraft, which we flew for a decade, did our duty subject us, more likely than not, to exposure, thereby entitling us to VA care for Agent Orange illnesses previously associated with by the IOM with that exposure? That should have been the real charge to the committee. I was given a list of questions to address on the technical things with the aircraft. I'd like to take any questions that you have about those issues now. I'm probably the only bachelor's degree person in this room, but I know the airplane. You had questions about its mission, how people were trained, the hours they flew, where they ate. Are there any of these questions that we can address now?
Does the committee have a question they'd like to put to Mr. Carter now, or should, you know, the way we'd structured the agenda, we have the panelists here. Mr. Young then would have his 5 minutes, after which time we would open it up for questions and discussion from the committee. Could we proceed that way? Mr. Young, the floor is yours.
Thank you for the opportunity of addressing this committee. As I stated a moment ago, I'm here to talk about the point of view of the Veterans Administration. The focus of our support to the department is to retrieve, catalog, analyze, and prepare reports on the historical records related to Agent Orange and the Vietnam War. And we've been at that now for a number of years. The VA has provided you this morning with a supplement that we've prepared detailing the appropriate historical records and data on the various subjects this committee has raised. We can get slide number two. Oh, yes. Okay. Sorry. Let's try this one. Of the 46 C-123 aircraft converted to use by ranch hand, only 12 were pre-1968 and were later converted to the K model. These aircraft sprayed approximately 70% of the Agent Orange. 21 newly arrived C-123Ks joined the fleet between May 1968 and November 1969, bringing the total to 33. These later aircraft saw minimal spraying of Agent Orange because of the restriction and termination of the use of Agent Orange, first in November of 1969 and with complete termination of Orange in April of 1970. A month later, in December 1969, 14 Ks, C-123 Ks, were sent to the 315th Tactical Air Wing at Phan Rang and were converted to transport duty. 11 additional Ks were transferred for temporary duty with the Vietnamese Air Force, the Thai Air Force, and Air America for transport duty. A herbicide arrangement on the aircraft was on a pallet, and they could be rolled on, rolled off. So it was easy to convert, and most of those pallets were left in Vietnam. The remaining 8 aircraft became A-flight in March 1970, spraying only blue and white. 2 others, including patches, were part of Operation Flyswatter, one being lost in February 1971. All 32 aircraft were transferred to the Air Military Storage and Disposal Center, what we call MASDEC, at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, Arizona. So we've now come up with 32 aircraft. They began their return to the continental United States at Davis-Monthan, and I can talk later about what happened there. In April of 1969 through February of 72, all those aircraft came in. Every single C-123K from Ranch Hand went through Davis-Monthan. From there, the spray tanks and the booms were removed and the aircraft were transferred, ferried as we call them, over to Hayes Aircraft Facility, Napier Field, Alabama, where they stayed for about 6 months, similar to the 6-month stay at Davis-Monthan. They averaged all of the armor, the seats, all the damaged floor, the fuselage, all removed. Industrial vacuuming took place, and interior and exterior washing, and I will describe that later if the question comes up. New seats, oxygen systems, flooring, cockpit standardization, interior and exterior painting occurred. From there, 4 were transferred to the 906th, 12, these are all reserve units, 12 to the 907, 9 to the 5 to the 731st, 3 to the 911, which is at Pittsburgh, and 8 were transferred back to MASDEC and given through to other countries under a special program called the Military Assistance Program. History of Ranch Hand. 1954, it was commissioned. From there, herbicide insecticides beginning in January 1962. I was at Eglin during the early years, not this early, but when purple first sprayed at Eglin, it was done by patches. It went back to Vietnam and became a defoliation crop denial aircraft. Then it went to mosquito duty in 1967. From there, it went back to the United States for conversion. And in 1968 through 72, insecticide operations in Operation Flyswatter. I've published extensively on that. Pittsburgh, it was then transferred to the Pittsburgh International Airport Reserve Unit there, Air Force Reserve Command, and from there in 1974 to the Air Force unit, the Reserve Unit at Westover. Went to the Air Museum in 1980. I believe my 5 minutes is about up.
Thank you. Questions, comments from the committee?
The cleaning and renovation you described to take place in Alabama, what year was that?
It began in 19... The first aircraft, I should distinguish the aircraft first. If an aircraft was damaged, as in the case of the Ranch Hand aircraft, the Ranch Hand aircraft took an average of 80 hits, most aircraft. A lot of damage was done from emergency landing. Those aircraft were then transferred to Napier Field in Alabama. Beginning about 1969, the first ones came in. The last ones were in 1972.